That mother love, there's nothing like it. And I know we all didn't experience that necessarily from our own biological mother or our own caregiver. So I always want to acknowledge that. And yet today I want to encourage you to consider where you received that kind of love. Because there is someone and somewhere at some time in your life where you have received this love. And so instead of that, oh, my mom wasn't like that, let's not go there today. Let's instead go to, my mom brought me into the world, and others have mentored me, have cared for me, have taught me, have shown me love, as well as the Divine Mother herself. Today is a day to just receive. So I hope you just receive some love and find some access points to that love, because it is so rich and so pure and so true. There's nothing really different between the divine love we talk about, whether it comes through a masculine idea of a father God figure or a feminine mother God figure or the allness of spirit. In essence, it is that same palpable love. And there is a flavor to it that is mother love, that is distinct. And so today we're going to drink in that soft mother love, still strong, still powerful, but also gentle and compassionate and kind and forgiving, all the things that we encourage ourselves to be for ourselves and to encourage us to be for each other. Yes? Yeah. Let's just drink it in. Years ago, Brenly, my wife's, she's a therapist, and a lot of her clients, she was starting to have this pattern. She was working with a lot of men who had been imprisoned. And they had, you know, all kinds of stories, many of them, alcoholism issues, drug addiction. They were sex offenders or criminals of some kind in their past, and they were trying to get back on their feet again and, you know, have a life where they didn't get into trouble and they didn't continue to hurt people. And she said it was so astounding that man after man after man that she met with had the same story. That one person stood by them. No matter what they had done, there was one person that always stood by them, steadfast, believing in them, holding space for them, loving them. Guess who? Mom. Yeah. So maybe for you, your mother or a mother figure has been that for you. Maybe when we have fallen or have made mistakes or we've hurt people, there's been somebody who continues to pick us up, continues to stand by our side or have our back. Or love us and walk with us on our journey. Encourage us. Have you had that in your life? Somebody. And if you think you haven't, I'm going to encourage you to look again. Because somewhere along the line you have. And it's that we want to draw forth today and feel and rejuvenate ourselves with that love. Because it's powerful and palpable. And it's very, very supportive of whatever it is that is going on in our lives. It's grace in action. It's a love and a grace that we get just because we are. And because that mother love, you can think of it as the great mother, the allness of God, goddess, that pulses and permeates through the universe, and also a very personal kind of experience. And it's that accessible, relatable, human mother God energy and love that you experience, and perhaps through nature experience, through mother nature. So that person, these people, whether they are a mother or a relative or a caregiver or friend, just allowing ourselves to remember them and to give thanks for them can be really a potent way to feel supported. We find, of course, mothers across species, and that mother instinct to care for their young, to prepare for their young, to bring forth their young, and then to sustain life. So we've had a really special thing going on this spring, right outside our kitchen window, and then another window, hummingbirds have been nesting. And there's been two mamas around, and we've named them. Because we had like this up close, it was like the nature show through the kitchen window, right? So So there on the left is Shayna, and those are her two babies that hatched, and their names were Frankie and Sweetie. Grace, our goddaughter, helped us name them. And they nested on Brenly's mobiles, if you've seen her mobiles in the around in the bookstore. That's what they enjoyed. But what was incredible to watch was the devotion of these mama hummingbirds. I mean, when they were just hatched, she almost never left the nest. Maybe like a quick, like, let me get a little drink of nectar and I'm going to stretch my wings and I'm back, you know? And then once they were hatched, it was just this constant feeding frenzy, this constant process of going out and coming back and going out and coming back and feeding these babies very deliberately. But probably one of the things that surprised me the most that I didn't know is about the architectural genius that the hummingbird is. Do you know about this? How they build their nest is amazing. So some of you are nodding, some of you know about this. So like many birds, they go off, they get those soft materials, they find their space, and then it's shaped just perfectly by her little feet in the nest and kind of wiggling down in there and making it just nice and round. And then she goes and gets spider web and weaves the spider web all around the outside so it can hold together nicely. And then, she's not done, she goes and shingles the nest. So she gets little pieces of lichen, and in Shayna's case, it was a perfect masterpiece. You're seeing it a little bit later there, but there was a shingle like lined up all the way around so it was held together. And it just, as I watched this, I was both in a marvel of nature and mothering and all that. And then I was also remembering my own mother and thinking, wow, this is an aspect of my mother that I haven't appreciated fully. And that is her architecture of the nest. The work that she did to create a nest, a beautiful place. We always had a nice home, and our bedrooms had our favorite things in them, and a comfortable space, you know? Have you thought about that, about your mother or your caregivers? You know, these things that maybe we focus on certain things that we got that we loved and certain things that we didn't get that, you know, a lot of times we spend a lot of time focusing on what we didn't get, yes? And of course, our human mothers weren't able to deliver everything, or our caregivers weren't able to deliver everything. But have you thought about all the good things you got? Have you thought about the nest that you had in some way, somehow, that nurtured you, that gave you shelter, that gave you love in some way, in some form? And so it's that I want to encourage us to bring forth today, to remember that love happens for us long before we're even brought into the world. When you are a divine idea to be formed through the divine itself, to be birthed into the world, there was preparation, there was forethought, there was a caring of you, 9 months of carrying you. So all that love is there, whether it showed up fully for you or not, it's there, and it's there to extract in the various places you have received it and maybe have not yet thought about it. So I want to just invite you for a moment to drop into your heart and to just let an image of someone who has provided some kind of love for you or prepared a nest for you in some way, who has given to you. And let that, you might be surprised by who comes, but let that image arise for a moment. Some kind of mother love you were given by someone. Who is that person? And I want to just invite you to send a silent blessing from your heart to theirs. Thanksgiving for what they have given you. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and get back into this space. Do you notice how your heart feels when you give a blessing? When you share some gratitude? The uplift that happens, the opening of the heart that happens. It's in that giving that we receive. It's in that acknowledgement that we remember. That's all a part of it, isn't it? Of this infinite loop of giving and receiving and being in the love with one another that we are surrounded by and infilled by at all times. And we just forget, or we're just not present to it at all times. But when we are, when we slow down, when we receive, it's so precious, isn't it? Life itself, the beauty of life, and the love that we are made of and that we are held by. You know, the Egyptian pharaohs had a kind of nest that they sat in. It was their throne. And the pharaohs earned the right to rule not until they sat upon the throne. Why? Why was that so important? Because the throne was believed to be the lap of the mother goddess Isis. And so it wasn't until they sat upon the mother's lap that they were really had become the king, the pharaoh, the leader. And what looked like on the outside masculine strength and action and ruling the land was drawing up in the inside that mother love, that unconditional love and acceptance and support and guidance and wisdom and protection and strength for the pharaoh, all coming from, in their case, the mother goddess Isis. Could have just as easily been Mother Mary or Kuan Yin or another form or just the formlessness of the divine mother love. The Madonna images of Isis and Horus that were found in the Egyptian temples were later mimicked by the Madonna images of Mother Mary and of course, her son Jesus. And we know that Madonna image is really seals in our mind this idea of from birth, right? This child from birth, just as the many Madonnas of our own lives, including our own mothers, that we've seen throughout time or that we've been ourselves. Excuse me, it's like a piece of pollen just floated through the air. You too, huh, Dana? No, I'm okay, thank you. So that divine lap, maybe not exactly in the, or you might think of it as a throne, is available to you. If you think about the places, where are the places where you sit, maybe in your home or the place that you sit in your home or in your backyard or in nature, that really feels like that place where you get re-energized and renewed and you go to that place again and again and again. Anybody have one of those? Yeah, a lot of you do. So it might be a park bench or it might be a meditation cushion or a place near an altar in your home or outside your home or a tree that you lean upon or a favorite beach or a rock. It doesn't really matter what it is, but it's that place that you go to that regenerates you, that we draw forth that love and that support that is available to us by sitting in that space. That is our throne. As the pharaohs had their throne, where we get recalibrated, where we can receive then also that kind of love and support, that unconditional, undying, unstoppable love that is always available to us. I don't think we could really imagine or know how much we're loved. I mean, do you know? Do you think maybe we just see a little surface experience of it, or we feel a little surface experience of it? If you think about, if you've been, how many of you have been a mother or father or grandparent or godparent or close to children or an aunt or an uncle? You've witnessed maybe the birth of almost everybody in the room has some form of having perhaps, you know, held a newborn or welcomed a baby into the family. And you know that feeling that is so otherworldly? Like, here we are crossing into the human world from the spirit world, and we're remembering as we look into these eyes, and it's just pure innocence, pure love. That's how I think this Divine Mother energy sees us and feels about us. Like we are this brand new, precious being that is loved so much more than we could possibly imagine, and that sees us as that pure love itself. And we are in that relationship at all times. It's just we're not always aware of it. So what I'm encouraging us to do today is opening up the pathways of awareness so we can become more aware of this, so that we can draw more strength from it, more support from it, because it's there for us for the taking. It's an endless pool of love that we swim in like fish in the sea, and we don't realize that we're actually in the water. But it's everywhere present in us and around us and in others and available to us from the ancient times to the present time and through our descendants and in all forms of life. So much available to us. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the Vatican the last couple of weeks. And at St. Peter's Basilica, there's one of my favorite sculptures. It's called the Pietà by Michelangelo. And here we have Mother Mary holding adult son Jesus after his crucifixion. What strikes me about this is not only the really moving topic of a grieving mother holding her adult son, but look how enormous her lap is. Look how strong she looks. She's in grief, but she's able to hold. She's able to hold you when you're in grief. She's able to hold you when you're sick. She's able to hold you when you're exhausted. She's able to hold you even in death. She grieves for you, but she has that kind of strength that carries you through anything. And it's that kind of love and that kind of connection that is available to us at all times. In the spirit, for sure, and sometimes even through embodiment of those that we know in our lives. Near this Pietà in the Sistine Chapel, the conclave, as you know, recently ended, and the first American pope was made pope. Probably most of you know that. Yes, some of you are cheering. And he took the name Leo. He's Leo the 14th, as you probably know. And I was curious about Pope Leo and, like, what's the lineage of Pope Leo and why did he choose that name? And what came up in my research was the very first Pope Leo. The very first Pope Leo was called Pope Leo the Great. And he had a famous tome. It's just an old word for a book, essentially, where he spoke about how Jesus was equally divine and human. So this is in the early, about 400 years after Jesus' death. The church is still evolving its theology about what is this thing we're calling Christianity and who is this guy we're calling Jesus. And, you know, most of the forefathers were landing on this pure divinity of Jesus. So it's kind of controversial that Pope Leo is saying, no, equally human and divine. And he specifically is referencing Mary and Mary's role, and Mary in her divinity and humanity intertwined, impregnated, as the story goes, by the Holy Spirit, and then carrying and birthing this child through her human body, who then comes forth equally human and divine. And he uses the feminine term for God in his writing, this first Leo. He uses the term wisdom, sometimes called Sophia. As wisdom, he says, who built a house for herself, the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Derived from humankind and animated with the spirit of a rational life. So the proper character of both natures, human and divine, was maintained and came together in a single person. And of course, unity's theology would go the next evolutionary step and say, and Jesus wasn't the only one who was equally human and divine. We are all children of this God, goddess. We are all human and divine. So the human then and the divine human being, the spiritual being having the human experience, is made possible by wisdom, Sophia. We come from wisdom. We come from love. And that's what we carry with us. And to know that that is available to us in this human nature form as relatable and accessible, and this divine form as kind of the allness and the expansion of our divine truth into the heavens, that this is both, of our walk is in both faces, both aspects of Mother God, and reflected in us in both ways. Many are hopeful the new Pope Leo the 14th will be somebody who preaches and teaches and inspires humane action throughout the world, compassionate, loving action, peaceful action. I see a lot of you nodding your heads. We all are blessing and hoping and affirming for that kind of religious and political leadership, although it's not a political position. It influences what we do and how we choose and what our leaders do and don't do. And so it's that desire, you know, this first trip of Pope Leo the 14th out of the Vatican was an expression of his devotion to the Divine Mother. He went to the shrine of the Mother of Good Counsel in Italy to pray. And he said, our Blessed Mother always wants to be close to us. And she helps us with intercession. She wants to be close to us and help us with her intercession and love. So some of us have Catholic backgrounds, and some of us are still Catholic, and some of us don't have necessarily that background. But if you have any kind of connection to Christianity, of course you have a connection to those early roots and to this Mother Mary figure who embodies the love. The divine love we're talking about. It comes in other forms, comes in whatever forms you choose. Some people really resonate with Kuan Yin or Isis or some other form, goddessy form, or the formless. It's love. It's just love. It's love. It's love. It's love. But for some of us, maybe some devotion in our practice would be helpful to us. And so maybe having a devotional figure of some kind is, or a prayerful kind of practice would be helpful to you. Something to consider, to keep this mother love in your consciousness and feeding your soul. Whether you call her, whatever you call her, it's the compassion and the companionship that is available to us. Ask and you shall receive, as we know. Open your heart, share your concerns. I'm not Catholic, but I remember when I was going to a Catholic grad school, Loyola University in Chicago, I would always make a point of going in this church courtyard where there was a huge statue of Mother Mary and just talk about my life, sit at her feet, tell her my problems. And it always unburdened me and made me feel so much lighter and supported. And so maybe that's a call for you too in some way. You know, small children often view their mothers as goddesses at some point in their development. And I remember this distinctly. You know, something we've all done 100 times for one another is open a jar. But when I was a small child, you know, and for kids, the first experience is the first experience, right? It's a formative experience. And I was sitting at the table and I was trying to open this jar, And then all of a sudden, my mom's big, beautiful, strong hand came down on that lid and it was off. And I just remember looking at her hand in awe and being like, wow, she is so strong. She is so powerful. And having this moment of just being so comforted and knowing that I shared a space in this world and in my home and at that table with this powerful goddess. And I bet all of us had those moments growing up of looking to adults in that way and seeing in some way. You know, as we grow, of course, we shift. And hopefully we all make that shift to the spiritual understanding, because, you know, of course, my mom didn't show up as the divine mother goddess all the time. And I'm guessing you, as mothers or grandmothers or fathers or grandfathers or children of your own parents, that you could probably attest to the same thing, right? Well, maybe not. Maybe I'm the only one who's not like on my divine game every minute of the day. So it's that recognition, though, those moments that we recognize that we open to that power and to that strength and to that love that is there for us. So how do we access, then, the Divine Mother? Because that's really, while we recognize it comes through humans as well, there is that practice in our spirituality that we want to find those places where those avenues are open to us for this great love, this palpable, amazing, unconditional, accepting love that is available to us. Do you want some of that? I know, I want more of that. And so it's finding those avenues and opening. And so one of them is that very throne that we talked about, your favorite place. Your place that feels like an empowering place for you, go to it, and go to it often. And when you do, perhaps you can imagine and open yourself to the idea that you are sitting in the very lap of the Divine Mother, that you are energized by her love, remade by her love again, renewed by her love and strength and protection and guidance and wisdom. That way, when you arise up from your throne, from your power spot, from your favorite place, that you can move about the world just like those pharaohs did, knowing that this energy is with me. Because it's always the journey into the heart. But we are also human physical beings. And it helps, I think, for us to acknowledge that there is spirituality and emotionality and support available to us in the physical things of the world as well, in the physical people of the world as well, in the beautiful nature and the life forms that are all around us, and to draw from that. So I invite you to go there, to go to that place. Maybe go there now for a moment, if you wish, to drop into your heart and sit in that place and just feel the love for a moment. That is the lap of the Divine Mother, your place. And the second thing we can do is to lean in. Once we arise from that space, did I give you enough time? Some of you are kind of half in, half out. I'll give you a moment. Go to that place and let yourself be re-energized for a moment. And just feeling buoyed by that love as you open your eyes. Anybody want to share where you went? Where's your power spot? Your new what?
Sound bathroom.
Sound bathroom.
Sound bath.
Sound bath. Oh, sound bath. Room. I was like, what an interesting bathroom. Sound healing room. There you go. Oh, beautiful. Yeah. I just went to the ocean and I just felt like this big wave of mother love. Anybody else want to share? Yeah.
I went to Redwood Forest, which had been my temple in the previous meditation.
Nice. Into the temple of the Redwood Forest, a little forest bathing over there for Lisa. Nice. Great. Where? Of course, John went to the kitchen. He is always the heart of the kitchen here at Unity. So there's some mother love for you right there. That's a really good example. I'm glad you presenced that too, John, because food, isn't that such a way we are loved by mothers often, and how we love as in our own mother love through food. Yeah, beautiful. So as we arise then and we're moving about the world. We're not going to always be sitting on our throne, right? And so as we move about the world, how can we be reminded that it's there? It's because something kind of the thing that we can lean into, an image that we can lean into. Last week I was on a retreat and it was all about ancestors. And so we had charted our family ancestry and spent a lot of time kind of extracting from it and connecting with it and embodying different folks from our family. And in one exercise, we had two dance partners. One was to embody the gift we had identified from our family, and the other was to embody the challenge we had identified from our family and to integrate the challenge and the gift. And my challenge was confinement, you know, just those ways of lack and limitation kept small, the ways that, you know, there's a certain way to do things, an appropriate way to do things, and a certain way to be, and, you know, like breaking out of that. And then the gift was the commitment throughout my family line to family and the love that runs through that kind of commitment. And so I was just, that my partner who's supposed to be the gift was saying, well, what do you mean exactly by family commitment? Like, what does that look like for you? What is it for you? I was like, well, stability. And she said, okay, so should like a rock? And I said, oh no, not a rock. Because that was too solid, that was too dense. I said, like scaffolding. And I imagined the chapel in the woods at Unity Village that's just a wood plank floor with some benches, and then it has like just a little bit of 2x4, but it's open to the sky, and it has canopy of trees, and I could breathe in that, but I also could lean in. I could also lean into those structures. And then to know that I could go back to family and lean and then move again, and then back to family and lean in and move again. And so it was that knowing that the family is there as this kind of framework for me that really worked. So for each of us, there may be a different way that that shows up for you, but I encourage you to contemplate that a little bit. In your family line, what has been the gift and what has been the challenge? How will those two intertwine? Because I found that part of that confinement was in the family commitment, yet I could have it be open, like scaffolding, and really bring forth the gift. Does that make sense? So we could talk more about this maybe on Memorial Day, but I just wanted to presence it a little bit because I think it's when we get up from that place of meditation or prayer or empowerment and feeling the love and all the things we do in the silent, quiet space, that movement about the world, then how will I know I'm supported? Well, if I have that kind of image and that knowing and that touchstone, and that touchstone may be a friend, but it may be family. And maybe family in ways that you haven't thought about how family is there for you. Because family is family, right? You came into that family for a reason. They are a part of your bloodline for a reason. And it's not just because of all the ways they taught you by bad example. Although that could be one thing. There's also goodness there, I promise you. Look again, look again, look again. And draw forth the goodness and the gratitude, that high vibration of gratitude that comes from that, and lean into it, lean into it, lean in, lean into the Divine Mother. William Rose Ross Wallace said in his famous poem in 1865, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." And we know this to be true, right? These are the generations that we usher forward, the descendants from here and from where we have come. And it comes through these mother lines, these matriarchal lines of love, humanity, and the limitations that have come with that, and the pure-hearted physical love that comes through that, emotional love that comes through that, and that divine love that never fails. And we bring these two natures together on our thrones and in the places where we lean in throughout our days, and we can know and feel this love that is here for us and fill ourselves with it over and over and over again. It's an endless pool, so you don't have to worry about there's not enough for me or not enough for everyone. It's an everlasting pool of unconditional love that you were born from and born into and that you are made of. It's hard to always like intellectually get that, right? But I think our hearts can get some of that. Do you feel some of that truth? Yeah. So we give thanks for the mamas everywhere present, right? The moms that are making nests and feeding and sharing the love. And for all the caregivers and all those of us who are playing those different kinds of roles that are bringing forth mother love to others. And really, I really want to emphasize today, each of us receiving, supporting ourselves, buoying ourselves up, going to those places to return again and again and again and be infilled and renewed. And thank you to that Divine Mother who's available to us 24/7. Always available to encourage us in our humanity and to uplift us and to help us expand our divinity every day a little more. She permeates the universe and she weaves us together in love. So let's tune into those pockets where we feel that and where we see that in different configurations of family and community. I hope you feel it here. I hope this is a place where you can lean in, where you can feel buoyed in some way, where you can sit and feel like you're rejuvenated in the love, reminded of the love that is here for you through each of us and through the sanctuary and through the grounds and through all the years of prayer and song and words that have been spoken in this place that stick in the carpet and the chairs and the walls and the ceiling. It's all accessible to us. So I leave you with those two ways. Sit upon your throne and lean in to the structure that is helpful to you, that is supportive to you to draw forth this love. And let's say this affirmation together, reminding ourselves of the support that is available. Together? Divine Mother supports me. I'm leaning in. So it is. Happy Mother's Day.